Life Podcast. My name is Adam.
My name is Sherry.
Sherry Beth, what episode is this?
119.
And we have recently started the podcasts by telling you a fun fact about the episode number. So you actually have our 119 fun fact today.
It's a little bit of a stretch, but
it is a big stretch.
1 plus 19 equals 20. And I have lived in Alaska for 20 years.
Also, 11 plus 9
Correct.
Equals 20.
Yep.
Wow. And today's a fun podcast. I'm really looking forward to it for a couple of reasons. First of all, today, as we're posting this, my 44th birthday.
Your birthday.
It is my birthday. And we have a guest today.
We do.
She is not here with us. She is digitally with us. My mom is here. Hi, Mom.
Hi.
So I want you to know this was actually Sherry's idea.
Yeah.
We were recently planning upcoming podcast topics, things we talk about. And we saw that the podcast fell on my birthday and we're like, well, what in the world do you do for a podcast on your birthday?
I said, I have an idea.
And you were like, what if we interviewed your mom about what it was like being pregnant with you, about what you were like as a baby, as a little child, just kind of a little glimpse into the Adam that nobody has ever gotten to see.
Yeah.
And so I thought, you know what? That is a darn good idea. And my mom graciously agreed to do this. So, Mom, are you excited to share all the stories?
Oh, yes. Yes, all you were. Gosh, Adam, you know, I was just thinking, as a baby, you were so much like you are now.
Thanks, I think.
You know, you just went and went and went. You go and go and do and... Yeah, you...
Yeah, well, I do. We are going to touch on that a little bit later because I want to ask you how I slept. And I already know the answer to this. And it's pretty funny. But let's back up. It's funny to me 44 years later. Probably was not funny to you in the time.
It's just not the word I would use to describe it. But go ahead.
I'm sure it's not. And we'll hear all about that. What was pregnancy with me like? And just so people know, not first pregnancy. I have a brother who's 13 years older than me. So you were an experienced boy mom by the time I come along. What was pregnancy with me like? Were there any weird cravings? How was it different than my brother? Tell us about that.
Cravings. You know, Adam, I don't recall cravings with my pregnancy with you. With Ronnie, I did. And I guess I remember it because it was watermelon I was craving in the wintertime in Connecticut. And the only thing I could find were those frozen packets of melon balls. Mm-hmm. And there were only 4 or 5 balls of watermelon. So I'd eat the watermelon and open another frozen packet. But just the difficulty of being able to access and find what I was craving with Ronnie is what made it stick out, I guess, in my mind.
Yeah.
57 years later.
I know. But I don't me, nothing really specific with me.
I don't recall cravings with you. I know I ate well. I know I loved parenting already. I was so excited to share parenting. I took good care of myself when I was pregnant with you. Your dad was really good to me when I was pregnant with you. He was sure my emotional well-being was important during my pregnancy. And it was a wonderful pregnancy.
This thought popped into my head and I think I'm right on this. Did you guys go to an Alabama concert when you were pregnant with me? Do you remember this? For some reason, I feel like I remember a story of a concert you went to and me thinking, I wonder if that's why I like country music.
Oh my.
For some reason, that is like in the far reaches of my memories.
It's quite possible.
it was the late 70s, early 80s. So that's a possibility.
Yeah, it's quite possible. Gosh, I've been to a whole lot of concerts, seen a lot of bands.
Well, I'm going to stick with my story. I'm going to say that the reason I'm a big Alabama fan is that you went to a concert with me when you were pregnant with me.
Your dad might remember something about that if you ask him. I don't specifically recall, but like I said, boy, that's sure very possible.
It fits. So I was born on Easter Sunday in the evening.
Well, the reason for that is that it was somewhere around your due date already. And I started having contractions like 5 days before then. And we talked about this, that you have that little notepad mm-hmm. of the times, and they were, they started like 10 minutes apart and then got closer each day. But they were just constant, but it never got, it just never got to the point of my water breaking, or it was just regular, increasingly strong contractions for 5 days. Hmm. And apparently the midwife was concerned enough that Easter Sunday, they decided this needed to happen. And I was really concerned because, I mean, it was Easter Sunday that they thought it couldn't wait a day till tomorrow, or, and so the first little bit, I was really nervous and really concerned, but once they had the monitors and I learned that you were okay, they gave me some sort of medication to induce labor, mm-hmm. and it took a while. Several hours I was walking down the hallway it was supposed to be a natural birth, and we had the, there's a certain, room that I should have been able to use had it been natural, but being that it was induced, I couldn't do that. And even mm-hmm. though it was a natural birth, it was induced, which meant they had to, I guess, monitor it more. Mm-hmm. And when labor is induced, normally without an induction, the contractions start and it's like small and then stronger, bigger, 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 and peak. Mm-hmm. And with an induction, there's no getting bigger and bigger. It's just peak.
Wow.
And so that was different.
Yeah.
But boy, Adam, once you came, gosh, you were just beautiful. You cried right away. And once I got you, I looked you over and counted your fingers and toes. And
all 11 of them were there.
Yeah. And you were just perfect. Hmm. You had no problem nursing. You nursed right away. And yeah, everything was wonderful. You were a happy baby. 24/7.
One of the things I love, Mom, is some of your memories, as you've shared this with me over time, that stand out to you. I just think it's so interesting. You remember, I think it was it your midwife?
Yes.
They had like a nose ring.
And that was in 1980, and she had a diamond in her nose, and she was awesome. I can't remember her first name. Olin, I think, was her last name. And yeah, she was just awesome. She was awesome. But that was a very unusual thing, and not very well looked upon back then.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whereas now it's normal and it's artistic now, you know, it's Yeah, so that was an unusual thing, but she was a bit unusual, but she was awesome.
Yeah, I always thought it was so interesting that, in the day of your son's birth on Easter Sunday, there's all these things you could remember. And that was one of the things that stood out to you, was that how she had a nose ring, but just how great she was. And so since I was born on Easter, probably I ruined Easter dinner. I'm sure you didn't get a nice Easter dinner that night, probably, right?
No, there wasn't an Easter dinner, no. And I couldn't eat before you were born, and then it was like, I don't know, 7 o'clock or something at night, and dinner was over.
You just messed
Yeah, it was. And the
it
thing is, by that time, I wasn't food wasn't my
Yeah.
even in my thoughts, really.
We should have started a tradition. I know we're 44 years down the road now, but it would have been fun to have started a tradition where I get mom Easter dinner every year on Easter as a makeup for the one that I took away. So
I don't know that it's too late to start that.
I bet you don't. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about me as a baby. Talk.
I want to know, because obviously I wasn't there. I want to know what Adam was like as a baby and as a toddler.
Oh, you were just the cutest, most you were sociable. You were happy. You were just perfect, Adam.
Say it one more time, Mom. Say it one more. Just say it one more time.
The only obstacle, really, with raising a newborn infant toddler Adam was your lack of sleep. You would, Adam, for the first year of your life, I don't think you ever slept more than a 2 hour stretch.
Oh, gosh.
And which meant I always had less than 2 hour stretches. And I got to the point after a year that I'm telling you, I was beginning to hallucinate. I mean, I just, and that's when you were just about a year old, and when you went to, I think it was Idaho with your dad for 10 days to visit his mom. And so that's when I stopped nursing. That's the first time you had a bottle, when your dad took you and you didn't have a choice. And I slept for 10 days. I slept.
Oh my.
And when you got back, you didn't sleep anymore, but I was kind of recouped
Yeah.
enough to be able to. And then when you were still in your crib, I joined a softball team. Gosh, I thinking back now, I don't know how I had the energy to do that. And then I got hit in the chest with a ball, and I couldn't pick you up out of your crib. So your crib mattress went on the floor, and you were no longer, not only did you not sleep, but you weren't contained.
Bad news.
Yeah,
Just
not
have
a
an uncontained
funny 44 years later, huh?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Still have to contain him.
Still, yeah, still. And I remember you telling me, Mom, that it wasn't just that I didn't sleep. It's that I would sleep and I'd sleep for just a very short period of time. And then I would just wake up as if I got 8 hours of sleep.
Oh, sometimes, yeah. I'd finally get you to sleep, and I'd always wait until I knew you're sleeping. So
Yeah.
I'd give you a minute or two. I mean, I knew you were sleeping, and I'd put you down. Boy, Adam, 2 minutes later, you just wake up, and yeah, like you said, it was like you'd had 8 hours of sleep, and I don't know
Ready
how who you expected to care for you.
to Oh my God.
So how old is he when he finally started sleeping more than the second
It you did start after you got back from Idaho with your dad. You were starting to eat some solid foods, and it was when you started eating some solid foods that you'd sleep a little bit longer.
Okay.
But not so much. yeah, I know. Gosh.
It's really funny because there's a part of that that is still true about me today.
Yeah. So, and I think that we've talked about this. I don't remember if we've talked about it on a podcast, but you still don't sleep super great. Like you don't sleep for like 8 to 10 hours in a block, but when you wake up, you're ready to go. You're ready to talk. You're ready to sing. You're ready to.
When I wake up as a 44-year-old, I am still a smiling, happy, bouncing baby boy.
You always were. It's not like you were sick or hurt or you were just happy. You were just awake. Yep. Happily awake.
Happily awake. That may be one of the best descriptions of just, me.
And I have to say, once you were walking and not even then, once you were crawling, you were curious and happily awake exploring, and which meant I had to be happily awake right on top of you. I can remember getting down on the floor and looking up from your angle at underneath the table and trying to see what you saw from your angle. I hope he's not as exhausting as a husband as he was as a toddler.
I was just gonna say I think there's some similarities.
There are times that I have to say that we're in quiet time.
Yep.
Because he just doesn't stop. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna have quiet time. We're gonna have sit still time. those are still implemented on a regular basis.
yeah, very much.
Yeah.
Can remember. So I had a bicycle with the seat on the back for you, and this was, I don't know, year and a half or so. And we would ride around town, and we had a sandbox in the backyard, and you had digging toys. Yep. Well, we passed a construction site once, and boy, we had to stop because you needed to watch what was going on. And it was such that when I knew there was construction going on anywhere, I would go the other way. because it became a thing with you that if we happened upon a construction site, you didn't want to leave. because you were so intensely mentally involved in all they were doing that you didn't want to leave. So I started avoiding construction sites on the bicycle.
That's so funny.
And you know, we had in that sandbox, Adam, gosh, we had so much fun. I remember your dad would come home from work and he was working sheetrock, and I know he worked hard. And we were playing in the sandbox and dinner was still at the store or in the freezer or... And I, at the time, kind of thought that that was something he would encourage, you know? You're his only son, and and I'm spending all this creative time with you, and he kind of wanted dinner when he came home.
But I was too busy doing construction my own construction projects of my own in the sandbox.
Yeah.
And I actually do remember, we were, it wasn't, probably wasn't too recently. I think we were at a secondhand store or a garage sale somewhere. And I remember seeing one of those metal yellow Tonka trucks, like the kind that I had as a kid. And just like, even the flashback to that, like I remember those as toys from my childhood for sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Do you remember the fire truck? This is when you were older, probably 4-ish maybe.
Did it have like an extending ladder, like the ladder extended up?
Yes, it had every, yeah. It was a huge, mm-hmm. Oh gosh, at least 2.5, maybe 3. I mean, it was a huge metal, yep, fire truck. And this was when we were in Oregon, and in the back, our backyard had a really nice wooden, you could tell it was recently built, probably by the last people that lived there. It had a tire swing that, oh boy, you fell asleep in that swing so many times. That was a that was a blessing for me. And it was like the tire was turned inside out, so it made this cradle. Uh-huh. It was perfect. But anyway, there, and it had sand all underneath it, but there were nails all in the sand. It's like it was right there out our back door, and I couldn't let you play there because of all the, it was all the construction nails from the place that were, so I got a screen and we started sifting, and we pulled, eventually got the nails out of there enough that I felt like you could play there. Mm-hmm. But in doing so, I don't know what it was that I guess little garden shovels or something we were using, and we felt something metal, and it had to be a good 4-6 inches or so down into the sand, and we dug and we thought it was just something right where the metal was, and dug around it. And then it was more and more. We had to dig more farther away. And this whole huge fire truck that was rusted, but still red. I mean, it was a fire truck. Mm-hmm. And you were just, Adam, you just knew from that day forward there were treasures under the ground. And sandboxes were a real favorite when you were a kid.
Well, I'm sure they were. I just found a fire truck in one.
I know, like, it.
I imagine, know. If I keep digging, think of what else I could find.
Hey, yeah, me too. I think there's treasures in the ground.
Exactly. You had mentioned earlier, you touched a little bit on when we came back from Idaho and Oregon, that I'd started eating. Tell me about, how did I eat as a kid? Did I have favorite foods? Were there things that I liked or disliked?
Was he picky?
Was I picky? Yeah, exactly.
No, you weren't real picky. I started you off slow, like baby rice cereal and stuff. Then I started mixing, when you got a little older, yogurt with like Rice Krispies. It would give it a texture kind of thing. You've seen baby albums and the terrible messes you would make.
Yes. One of my favorite photos we have of me as a baby, it looks like I'm attempting to eat spaghetti, and I have the bowl on my head and spaghetti just all over me.
You still do that.
Well, I, at that age, my thought was that, I wanted you to enjoy mealtime.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I wanted you to try new things.
Yeah.
I wanted you to, I don't know. I guess I figured at that age, play was just part of learning everything.
Yep.
And that certainly table manners would would come into play at some point, and they did for the most part.
For the most part.
I don't know that you still, my guess is you still don't properly chew your food.
No, and there's a point now, Mom, where it's like I chew my food less than I probably should, just because I feel like it's a battle between you and I, even 44 years later.
No, Adam, you were in your 20s when you acknowledged to me, as a matter of fact, I remember your words specifically. You said, you know, Mom, there really is something to chewing your food.
Oh, there. No, here's the thing.
Those were your words.
You're absolutely right. I agree with that even still to this day. But just
doesn't.
Out of stubbornness. Yeah.
See, no, that's very that's very unlike Baby Adam.
Baby Adam never would have said that. That's so funny. Oh, what kind of things were I into? So like, were there activities that I liked? Were there sports that I liked? Were like, what kind of things did I like as a kid?
Well, Ronnie was playing football when you were, this was after you were walking. Mm-hmm. Right at the beginning of your walking. And your dad, because he wasn't ready for you yet, coached football. I tried to incorporate you into that scenario and bought you the football jersey, and hat, and there was a dirt pile with a mound on the sideline or out of the way of the field a bit, and you played on that a lot. So you were into sports because of, well, you were into the football, that sure. particular football game. You weren't into any other sports. Mm-hmm. Your trucks, your construction, you were into that. What else?
Pretty social with other kids. Like, did I get along, or did I just like to play by myself alone?
Oh no, you were always social with everybody, even a toddler at the grocery store. You were, you were happy and sociable, and yep, you were. Everybody loved you.
So funny. What was like? Because obviously, I don't. The world has changed. Like, you know, it's like kids today. There's a level of safety with them being outside and alone and all of that. And so what was that like being a new mom? Cause I mean, again, 13 year age gap between Ron and I, what was that like? Like, what was the world like that I was raised in?
Well, when you were like toddler, between infant, toddler, I had it was wooden, and it was like those, you know, those baby gates that stretch out to, well, it wasn't a gate. It was a hole. It was that sort of material. And, but it was a whole playpen. It was like, a yard. I took it out in the yard, and so I could put a blanket on the grass, and it made a whole, oh gosh, it was like a good queen size bed area, only round, play area that you were contained in. That was nice for me.
Well, I'm sure, especially if I was, like you talked about, like me being just curious and like always going to check things out, to have some constraint was probably good.
Well, as long as you had, I mean, you couldn't be there by yourself. You needed to be surrounded by your toys and your, and I had to be within sight. And that's another thing, boy, I never should have done it. And for some reason, I guess because the name of the show was Adam. And I watched this horrible show when you were little. And he's the guy who, the father's the one who did America's Most Wanted thing.
Oh, because, yeah, I think his name's, I think it's John Walsh.
Yes. And yeah. His son Adam had been kidnapped and beheaded. And
yep,
I was horrified. And I became helicopter mom. Once you, I couldn't let you out of my sight. Mm-hmm. Like in the grocery store, you were not allowed to round the corner before I did.
Yeah.
It was, I know I went overboard with that. I just couldn't help it. I was freaked out and
yeah.
And then you were, I don't know, Adam, I just can't remember times, somewhere around a year and a half when John moved in with us.
Good friend of my brother. I mean, basically like family at that point, honestly.
Yeah. And because Ronnie was 13 years older than you, I swore that he was not going to become a babysitter, that he at that age already had friends and a social life, and you were my responsibility, not his. And but after John moved in, I made a deal with the two of them that on Friday night I would take them and pay for a movie or roller skating or whatever they wanted to do on Friday night. And they were like 14-ish at that time. And in exchange, they would babysit and watch you on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. And that's when that grocery store event, like, I don't know, 4 months or so into it, that... where you were learning, they were teaching you ridiculous things, the wrong things, a whole new language, a whole.
Yeah, there may be no worse age to like have two like 14-year-old boys like during my during the time when I'm learning words. Like that's a terrible combination, and they took full advantage of that.
And you looked up to them so much. I mean, you know, like they were, and I get it. At their age, you were a pain in the butt.
Totally.
To them, but to you, gosh, they were just awesome. They were, and so whatever they told you, if they held out a pencil and said, "This is a blueberry,"
I believed them.
You believed it, and you were confused.
I'm sure I wasn't the only one. I'm sure you're confused when I'm just like coming around. I'm like, blueberry the banana boat. And you're just like, what? And I'm like, I need a pencil.
Well, you know? I didn't catch on to that until the grocery store incident, which if your listeners are interested in that, it's somewhere on a video somewhere.
Yeah, it's on a video I think you and I did together in Colorado years ago. Mm-hmm. Essentially, I mean, just the 30,000 foot view of it is that we're, you know, I'm a kid. You've got me. We're kind of in the checkout aisle, and you said there was something that I wanted, like somewhere there was a toy or a candy, something kind of in that checkout aisle I wanted. And you said I looked at you, and you had said no, couldn't have that, right? And so I looked at you and I just said, suck my butt. And you said that everything the way I said it, the inflection in my voice, like even like where it was used, like it was all right.
All correct.
All correct. But my favorite thing, and this makes me laugh to this day. My favorite thing is, and I think I get my quick wit from you because the way you responded is there's people around, they hear this kid just say this. And you, in the moment, disowned me because you said, I am telling your mother when we get home. Like, you wouldn't even claim
me. As soon as I take you home, I wouldn't even say when we got home. I was so embarrassed. I was humiliated. I was flabbergasted. And you were at an age where you were saying a few words, but I don't recall. I'm so embarrassed that that was your first sentence.
So suck my butt, my first sentence. That's pretty impressive. But here's the thing. You had to have known instantly where that came from.
Oh, I did. And we had a conversation, and it was, and when I had that conversation with Ronnie and John, that's when I learned about the wrong things, other things they were teaching you. I didn't know about that until then.
Oh, gosh.
And so I set the record straight that that's not what I called, that babysitting isn't just to make sure you're alive at the end of the day. It's to, I wasn't going to take them anywhere on Friday nights anymore if that's what they called babysitting.
But what is 44 years later, what a story we ended up with because of it, right?
And do you remember on your 30th birthday, Ronnie sent you a video talking about how he wanted to be a good big brother and help make you unique. And
So he gave me my own language. Gave me my own language. Well, I remember, I think it was Cousin Richie was talking about, you know, when he'd watch me with them, that one of the things they'd have me do, because I'm, you know, learning to walk and all that stuff. And they'd say, oh, Adam, go over there and get that. They'd like point something across the room, and I'd get up and I'd start, you know, toddling to the other side of the room, and they'd take the couch cushions and they'd fling them on my feet and like knock them out from underneath me. And so I'd fall, and they'd be like, oh, sorry, we meant that thing on the other side of the room. And so I'd go to the other side of the room and they'd throw pillows at my feet.
Why am I learning about that now?
Surprise. That's a little birthday gift just to you.
Oh, but that sure sounds like the whole situation back then, though. That,
I would have expected that, nothing less from 14-year-old boys watching.
That doesn't surprise me. Mm-hmm. It surprises me that I'm hearing about it now.
Any other memories of me as a kid? Anything that stands out to you when you think about baby Adam or toddler Adam?
What was your favorite thing about him, and what was your least favorite thing about him?
Oh, good question.
As a baby / toddler.
Just how happy you were, Adam. I mean, you were just, it's, and I guess I have to take a bit of credit for that, because mm-hmm. I was just so engaged. I mean, I missed that with Ronnie. I was a single mom with Ronnie. And a babysitter watched him take his first step.
Yeah.
And I just, to this day, that breaks my heart. And so I was just so engaged with you that, we just did stuff. We colored, we sang songs, we danced, we dug in dirt, gosh.
Feels like what a childhood should be, honestly. Like, you know, as I think about that stuff, it's like that's what it seems like being a kid should be.
Yeah,
it was. So there was one winter time when your dad was out of work, and this was, you were like two-ish, and this was during the times when we were riding the bikes and the construction sites and the sandbox and didn't have dinner when he was hoping. And and so this was like after that. And so it was winter and he didn't have work and I got a job. And boy, that's probably some of the easiest times I've ever had in my whole life. I came home from work. And you were clean, the clothes were clean, the house was clean, dinner was on the table. It's like he was showing me how it should be when he goes to work.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's so funny.
And we just weren't on the same page, you know. Yeah. I was over the top engaged in your, I don't know.
Yeah.
And you.
Well, I mean, for me, like that's, I will say I do remember that. And I remember like my memories of growing up, and I don't have a ton of them. I have a few from before we moved to Trapper Creek. I feel like a lot of my memories start, you know, Trapper once we moved to Alaska. But I do have a few from before then, you know, but they're all play memories. And I love that. You know what I mean? Like they're sandbox or swing sets or like just,
yeah, we loved to swing. Yep. We loved to swing. Yep.
And so I
and every schoolyard had them and they were free.
And they were free. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. And so I loved it. All of my memories from 3 and younger or 5 and younger, they're all play memories. And I just think what a cool thing to be able to say, right?
That's great.
Yeah. And that I have to say that continued. I mean, I was, I didn't have a great child. I had a horrible childhood in every respect. And so I didn't have the, I was determined to give you kids a childhood. Mm-hmm. And we laughed every single day. We played every single day. And this isn't just when you were little. I mean, this is
Through
all
life.
The way through growing up.
And not even through growing up, Mom. I mean, here's the reality is that to this day, if you look at the weather in Anchorage and you see that we're getting snow, you will still tell me like, oh, build a snowman, you know? And so it's like, that hasn't ended. And I love that.
Yeah,
that's one of the downfalls. I mean, it's one of the pluses and one of the downfalls. I have a snow woman kit that Marisa gave me for Christmas one year. And it's because every year, and in Alaska, you build a snowman at the first snowman snow that you get.
Yeah.
And you get to enjoy it all winter long, usually.
Yep. Unless it gets buried with more snow.
It's it takes a bit of maintenance sometimes, but still, you know, you come home and your snowman's smiling at you every day when you come home all winter long. Uh-huh. And sometimes I had snowman families that were out there, and it was only a half hour or so to build and a whole winter that I got to enjoy it. And with Ronnie, even when we lived in Las Vegas, we went to Mount Charleston and built a snowman. Mm-hmm. And now I have this. So because of my every year snowman habit.
Tradition, yeah.
Tradition, that's a better word. Marisa made this kit for me, and every single piece had a story. Her mother-in-law's clothespins, her grandmother's fabric for the hat rim and the scarf, a friend of ours in Talkeetna made the hat. I mean, every single piece, and the eyes, the nose, the mouth, the buttons, everything was, the buttons were flowers, the nose is a carrot, a fabric carrot, but they're all glued on the end of these clothespins. So you build the snowman and you just have to push the clothespins in, and doesn't come with arms, so you have to find some tree limbs for arms, but here in Colorado, it's just, or where I am in Colorado, it is futile. A couple of years I've built a snowman, but it's only lasted for a day, 2 days, so it's futile. It's not worth it. But yeah, that's something that we did.
And I always remember that, like, we'd always, whenever we go to a restaurant, in fact, it's funny because it's right here. It's right on the other side of this. A wooden tic-tac-toe board that we had that came with us to every restaurant. So if we were sitting and waiting to eat, out came the games, and you would play games with me. You know, that you always had sidewalk chalk in vehicle or in our house. And so if it was nice outside, we would go outside and just do sidewalk chalk designs. And I just remember that I think a lot of that has added, I think that's what has made me have whimsy even in life still, is the fact that there was whimsy in life as a, like, for as long as I can remember. Like, I don't remember a time when that wasn't the environment that I was raised in. And I just think that there's a gift in that that I don't think everybody has.
Yeah.
Do you remember, like, at a restaurant, if we didn't have the tic-tac-toe, we'd play penny hockey?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So here's what's funny about that, Mom. I don't even know that you know this. To this day, Sherry and I do that with our with my wedding ring. So if we go to a restaurant, we take off my wedding ring, and that becomes our penny hockey thing. So we still do that.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you use a penny?
Who has pennies these days?
We don't carry pennies, and his ring is huge, so it works really well.
Or a quarter. You don't have a quarter in your pocket?
No, not normally. We don't normally have coins.
No.
Really?
Yeah. The world has changed.
Right. I like to pay cash for everything.
Oh, yeah. I don't. If either of us have cash, it's like this weird, like, wait, why do I have cash?
Yeah. I don't.
Do you remember all the change that you guys cashed in when you guys were here?
I do.
That I had.
Yes, yes, absolutely. You still love coins. I can confirm that. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh,
so play and fun and I remember reading a book when you were little. There's a book back in the 70s called Our Bodies, Ourselves, and it was put out by the Boston Women's League. And then they did another book called Ourselves and Our Children. And in that book, there was a chapter that in big letters, it said, be lazy. And the premise of that was that if your child is capable of doing it, let them. That, and they gave an example for like pouring Cheerios. Yes, in the beginning they're going to make a mess, it's going to be more work for you, but they'll learn to clean it up. And yes, they're not going to clean it up as good as you do, but they're going, if you don't allow them to do what they're capable of doing, the message they're getting from you, their parent, is that you don't think they're capable.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took a while and several messes, but I followed that. I believed in that. I thought that was true. And so you started pouring your own cereal once you were able, and it didn't take you that long to get it down.
And I'm still pretty good at pouring my own cereal. Mm-hmm. Not to brag, but I'm still pretty good at it.
I didn't let you pour milk out of the jug. I let you pour it out of a glass into your cereal.
Okay.
But until you got much older, but you were good at it, and it didn't take you long. And so I remember that being a forefront in my mind when I was raising you, is that if you were capable, you should do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times when your room became a health hazard. And
That's true.
You really appreciated the help cleaning it up. And I knew that you did. And you always loved having it clean, and organized. It never stayed that way for very long. True. But you liked it when it did. And but your room was always, and this is when you were older, but it was always your responsibility.
Yep.
But I did jump in and help when things got out of hand. And
yeah, I do remember. I don't ever remember feeling like, and it's interesting because, you know, talking with friends growing up about, you know, what are their memories of growing up? And I've heard a number of friends talk about this feeling of like, oh, I felt like I was an inconvenience to my parents, or I felt like I was, you know, a burden or that kind of thing. And I never felt that way. I you never made me feel like I was an inconvenience or a burden. It was always fun and play. And yes, I do remember responsibilities. I do remember, you know, I felt like I had I felt like you always gave me a long leash. You know what I mean? Like I always had the ability to, whether it was with curfew or whether it was just with like starting to make decisions, even as a young adult. I felt like you always put faith and trust in me, but also like genuinely always believed in me. Like, and that was one of a real gift, I think, that not just the play and the fun, but that I always knew you were in my corner. And I think that that's like, what a cool thing to be able to say.
Yeah, I like that you feel that way. I know with your curfew, I remember when you first started getting a curfew, when you were old enough to go out on your own, and whatever the time was, you would push it. You would, sounds you right. know, if it was 7 o'clock, you'd think, you know, 10 after, that's close. But that meant that for 10 minutes I was going out of my mind thinking all the horrible things that might have happened, or and there weren't cell phones back then, so right. And so after a few of your pushing the limit, I started getting specific. And it was a 4 or a 7 or a 11 or a 13 number that it usually added up to.
Yep.
It was 11 minutes after 7 was your curfew. Or when you got older, it was 9:02. Or I was real specific. And so that was being real specific. There was no leeway.
That's right.
It wasn't around 7.
Nope, 7:02.
Nah, that was a 9 number. I didn't usually use 9 numbers.
that's true. How foolish on my part. That's so funny. Well, gosh, Mom, I love you. Thanks for taking the time just to talk about this stuff. I'm so glad that Sherry had this idea. You know, it's like,
oh, me too. Adam, you were just delightful. You were just such a good, happy baby, and curious and adventurous and smart. You picked up 2 languages by the time you could talk.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks to my brother. Thanks to my brother, who else was fluent in 2 languages. And one of them is a lost language that nobody speaks anymore, apparently, from what I've heard.
Have no one else to converse with other than Ronnie or John.
They probably love that. Oh, that's still, it's still one of my very favorite stories of my entire life. And even, I will say, almost every time that I get together with my brother still, that story almost always comes up. And so it's still one that we bond over, which I think is just so great.
You know, I wonder, I think it was one of your more recent videos, you were talking about going to a sports game. I can't remember what it was.
It was the UConn basketball game he took me to in Connecticut.
Yeah, where the scalper. I don't know if he's listened to that or watched that video or not, but does he know how impressed you were with him?
Well, and I didn't even go into as impressed. Because again, you had talked about how I looked up to him. And I think I always did growing up. Like, he was always been my big brother. He's always been on a pedestal to me. But I remembered the words he said to the first scalper, because we approached one scalper and the money that guy wanted for the ticket was astronomical. And I'll never forget this. My brother said, wow, at least Jesse James had a gun when he robbed people. Like, because the scalper was like asking so much money. And I just remember as a little boy being like, oh my God, my brother's the coolest. And so like, I remember the sentence he said to the scalper. And then we eventually bought tickets from another scalper, but it was just, yeah, I think he's, it doesn't surprise me that I was, that he influenced me to learn a completely fake language. Cause I think at that age, I would have believed anything my older brother said.
Yes, you did look up to him, and he, I remember going to New York one time. This is after he was an adult, and there was a person, a guy selling hats on the sidewalk, and I was gonna get one, and he just said, "I'll get this, Mom."
Yep.
And he didn't pay the price that they were asking.
Yep. I hope he used it. At least Jesse James had a gun when he robbed people. It's a classic. I still remember it.
It's a classic.
All right, Mom. Well, we love you. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us.
Yeah, thanks for doing this.
This was fun.
Oh, I love you. I love you both so much. you're still a joy.
And I still don't sleep great. And I wake up really happy. So some things don't change.
Yeah. Hey, did you ever walk in your sleep?
Actually, yes. I, as an adult, yes.
Yeah.
I don't remember you doing that. Well, hard to tell. Gosh.
you were hallucinating at that point, Mom.
What I thought of is I know Rana used to walk in his sleep. Mm-hmm. And this was a grade school kind of age. And he'd get up and talk to me, and I never realized he was walking in his sleep. I never got that because he was just talking to me until one night he went to the refrigerator to get something to drink and came out with a ketchup bottle.
And you thought, wait.
And I thought, oh, he's not awake.
No. Yeah. Adam will, he'll go to sleep. And he, like, after I'm asleep, he'll wake up on the couch, or he'll wake up in the guest bed. And he's like, I literally no recollection of him leaving our bedroom, of him like walking. We will have full conversations where I'm awake and I don't realize that he's not, because he's talking back to me, answering my questions. But he has no memory of it in the morning.
No, she's like, hey, do you remember talking about that? I'm like, no, when did we talk about that? She's like, last night for like 10 minutes. And I was like, nope, that wasn't me.
So, I mean, it was the only other person in bed with me. So,
yep.
So when you end up on the couch or something, do you remember going there?
No, not at all. I just wake up on the couch.
He doesn't remember getting up. And he doesn't remember walking there.
The most common thing is I will wake up with my head at the other end of the bed. Mm-hmm. It's like I wake up and I flip all the way down and I wake up and Sherry's feet's by my head. I'm like, what is going on? And so, like, yeah, I no recollection of any of it.
Nope.
And then I wake up completely happy, ready to go. That hasn't changed. Just, well, my eyes are awake. I'm just ready.
When the sky's awake, Adam's awake.
Yeah.
So, well, all right, Mom. Not a lot has changed.
I am too. So we love you so much. And to everybody who's listening, thanks so much for tuning into this. Yeah. Hope you enjoyed this conversation between Sherry and I and Mom on my 44th birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday,
baby. Happy birthday. Double digit years.
And four adds up to eight. So you know it's going to be a good one, right?
Right. And eight numbers a good one. Plus, not only that, but you're halfway to 88.
I am halfway to 88. So that's exactly right. All right, friends. We love you so much, and we will see you on the next Leg Life podcast. All right. Bye.